아 가장 내 중에서 세지 단내 중에서 이 체마 세지 시 제가 내 중에서 이 체매 체니들라 관계 투모 마인 비게 다긴 실라소르게 뒤에 질라 때네 한 대외 사도 밀리비 가서 다음에 차위 미다바다 다음에 차라 강로 무슨 또 배서도 밀리비 한 파주기 신지기 켐바 세야 돼 내 중에서 미 체니 체니에 대해서 시 나다 내 중에서 되기
Good morning. Last night then we looked at yogic direct valid cognizers, and we first looked at the definition, which as we have here at the bottom of page 6, is an other knowing, exalted knowing, a continuum of an aria, that in dependence upon the stabilization, that is the union of calm abiding and meditative insight, and its uncommon empowering condition, newly and directly realizes either subtle impermanence, or the coarse or subtle selflessness of persons. And after having looked at the definition, we looked at the three objects that are realized by a yogic direct valid cognizer. And we looked at the first in some detail, valid cognizers directly realizing subtle impermanence. When we spoke about impermanence, we said that there are two aspects that we need to engage in with our reflection. First, the momentary change of impermanent phenomena, so they change moment by moment, which is the subtle impermanence. And then secondly, that impermanent phenomena come about independent on causes and conditions, they're produced from causes and conditions. So when reflecting on impermanence, these two aspects need to be reflected on. It's momentary change, and that it's produced independent on causes and conditions. Impermanent phenomena have these two characteristics. They change momentarily and they produce independence on causes and conditions. What is opposite to impermanent phenomena are those which are permanent. They do not change momentarily. Whilst impermanent phenomena have these two characteristics, permanent phenomena have neither. For example, permanent phenomena such as uncompounded space, emptiness, or the selflessness of persons. These are permanent phenomena, thus they do not change momentarily, and they are not produced independent on causes and conditions.
So the concept that uncompounded space, emptiness, selflessness of persons, these are permanent.
This is a correct way of thinking. This is an unmistaken way of thinking. It is not a mistaken way of thinking because emptiness is permanent. Selflessness of persons is permanent. Uncompounded space is permanent. But on the other hand, should we think fauna, our aggregates or the aggregates, and all impermanent phenomena, all compounded phenomena, should we think that they are permanent? Then this would be a wrong consciousness. So if we were to relate to anything that is impermanent as if it were permanent, that would be a wrong consciousness.
Korongi gibi gujine gibi jibu de la yaga chi mare dua ma do lo che ne le lo dua ma do yaga chi tu mare che ta zin gi gujine che ba ne de la cha ta ra kho tho de gi lo dua ma do gi ma le lo yaga chi tu mare che le
che
san kho ju ho ra ya go me ba san di jibu de ya go ma le ma do tön do re ka le ne gi di ya go che ba ina di jibu de yu go che de ya go che jibu de ya go shun go le gi di ya go me ba ina Then you would hear Yahoo Kimato, then they would hear Yahoo on to go, Marajida. You the Yahoo on the Jebu de Yahoo in Gore, you Yahoo man, Jebu de Yahoo in Go, Barra. Then I should go Run Darsing Gansa Rang, Tawatime, Darsing Gansa, Tadu Tubatime, Darsing, let the call Lord Nurtur, Lord Loshere. Says on Korongi, Jesu give you, Lord, get some Lord Yahaji give you, Mara, Lord Duai, Mato.
So therefore, a person being impermanent comes about independent on causes and conditions. But relating to the person as being permanent, thinking that the person is permanent, having this grasping at the a person as being permanent, is a wrong consciousness. So one is relating to this impermanent phenomena as if it doesn't change momentarily, as if it isn't produced independent on causes and conditions. From a wrong consciousness, only unwanted results come, in particular the various afflicted minds. We can understand this that from if a cause is a poor cause, a bad cause, then from such a cause only undesirable results will follow. So if the cause is a wrong consciousness, such as grasping at something that is impermanent as being permanent, in particular in this case the person, then from that only unwanted results will follow. From this wrong consciousness, this mistaken perception, only unwanted results will follow. And the way that we need to reflect on impermanence is to reflect on those two aspects. We bring to mind impermanent phenomena such as the person, ourselves, and we think about the person being impermanent due to fulfilling those two characteristics. The person changes momentarily, and secondly, the person is produced independence on causes and conditions. Therefore, not only having been produced independence on causes and conditions means that the person is impermanent, therefore the person will, these aggregates that change momentarily leads to this life ceasing. This life will end. This opportunity will end. So this is how we can introduce our meditation on the impermanence of this life.
Tadi soso arang la sam ta je deni ki mitaba sam tang kubi ki gyumse ro jida ani chi kando kharyo re la ba ina digi pando karin gorsene ngaro to shi ne shi do ban na su bu de ma do ro na ni mi shi ye yi do ye yi ma ro da sam ta na de ma ta na de ni mi shi me ba cha ro ro ba ji sa da ni mi shi me ba cha ro de ane ma o ba na zao yi ni me ba cha ge ni be sen zao yi ni me ba cha ge o ma de ge wa chi ma ju go ro ba da ji sa chi ma ju go ro chi ma ro de chi ma ro se de la ngan zu ge jian zuo xie dan han zuo xie de 丁尼嘛都着手要么了，俺那俺做了结果了，俺那点着了结果了。其实俺丁尼嘛是着手没完账，俺做地下过过了，忙活把那俺做新的忙活把那建设的搞好起了，俺那俺做了结果了，俺点着了结果了是。丁尼的好过啊，去的俺做给地没大把什么大的，丁尼的来处结果了。其实俺丁尼的来处结果的，俺那点着了结果的了，嗯。 结完了，俺那干什么都得打电话到他的名义结完了吧，就点着些活了。其实，咱俺就军装打、捏娃打、一打，点那药了，结束了结完了，俺着些活了。但结束了结完了，个些那干了卡的，都个辛苦了。但点着了结完了，俺那俺就干了那，嗯，地基帮俺用活了。其实俺干了干干了，穷俺用活了。点那现在着色了，你嘛都没完账，第一点俺就当个结活，忙活把那地着色点你的。 其实咱们家就是，我当西装那着色第二要的，就是第二要把咱第一咱们家穿的点着了，给的了有个的啥活是，给我做过活的是。其实俺着了给的，个里给过的是呢，第一个就是俺着了给过的，其实第一个就帮过过的，其实第一个就没把学穷大的没把学把，那这毛把呢俺着了给买的，其实俺给娃了啥把呢，毛把呢点着了给着活的是呗。俺对第二个，接生意的通钱呢，第一主要给。
남가니디
When mentioning the meditation on death or the impermanence of this life, it's imperative that we understand very clearly why this is such an important meditation. Because generally in the world, if we hear about the need to think about death, this repulses us. It's something we aren't naturally encouraged to think about. But there's a significant benefit to this meditation. And that is that it will lead to a transformative impact on ourselves. So the reflection starts out with coming to gain great certainty that we will die. So this is something that is intellectually accepted by almost everyone. But this we need to come to see with vivid clarity. And thereafter we think to ourselves, so I'm certain that this life will come to an end. And then what happens? It's not that our continuum ceases and our experiences end. A new rebirth, a reincarnation, is immediately attained. And that rebirth is only going to be in one of two directions. We will either gain another good rebirth in a happy migration like we have in this life as a human or as a god, or we may fall into the lower realms. The rebirth such as an animal or a spirit or in the hell realms. So among these various realms of rebirth, what differentiates them is the amount of happiness that can be experienced there, as well as the amount of suffering that is experienced there. So it's happiness and the amount of happiness and suffering that differentiates these realms. And it's only within these two directions, a happy migration or a suffering migration, that one will take rebirth. So this reflection on impermanence, you remember, had these two components. Impermanent phenomena change momentarily. So therefore we can see that that this life we have, this is impermanent, and therefore it changes, therefore it will end. And the second component is that it comes about in dependence on causes. This life we have came about in dependence on causes, so too will our future, each and every future life. And then we think about, so what are the causes for our next rebirths? If we want to have a good rebirth, what are those causes? What if we are wanting to avoid the suffering rebirth, what are those causes? So here this meditation now has led us to gain certainty that this life will end, and that this life will therefore will be followed by another rebirth. And here now we're coming to gain clarity on what are the causes that we need to emphasize on developing, and what are those that we need to ensure we don't accumulate. So this then, this meditation then, why it has such a transformative impact on us, is it gives us the strength of mind that we require to discipline ourselves, to discipline our way of thinking, to ensure that our mind is always directed towards virtue. And when it goes in the direction of non-virtue, we have the inner strength, the commitment to want to turn away from that and remain with the mind focused on virtue.
Dinigi midawa sam danya de dini, and a kiji meva chaya matana, the midawa sam matavane, dinigi kusaya delia, sim lea charuguma. She said, midawa savane, do you dinisha mother jobo jobo kiji, chi, meva yomatin, that didn't make generally kia gudima, yahoo samatun, sao to simply get some kiedi, sagi, duma de shuchele at illegore. She said, andro kia gudi, or that datina, jobo jobo meva masovaina, and the mobana de.
This reflection then on the impermanence of this life has three aspects. We've mentioned two. So the one is that the certainty of death, the one that hasn't been mentioned, the uncertainty of the time of death. So whether we engage in this meditation or not, this situation doesn't change. We will still die, and the time of our death, the manner of our death, remains uncertain and unknown. But the result of those two aspects of the meditation is the third part of this meditation. We give rise to this transformative way of thinking that I need to ensure I accumulate virtue and avoid non-virtue. When we come to this conclusion, and it arises with us in a way that does actually transform us, when it has that strength and that stability, this means we see this transformative impact within us. We start to experience that result that our mind is on virtue, and therefore our mind is more joyous. Our mind is now less inclined to go to non-virtue, and when it does, we notice and bring it back. And this too brings joy to us. So the result of this meditation is that we accumulate virtue and we avoid non-virtue. And this has the impact on us that we are experiencing greater joy because we are seeing I am accumulating the causes that will lead to a good rebirth. I see this transformation within myself. I also see that my mind is not going in a negative direction as it used to. I see this transformation in myself. I see what I can do. Hence the resulting joy.
And 강바지 딥지 견쇼게 삼호라 당고 말어. 진짜 나 되네 삼다와이나 오뎅이 강바두 무슨 님지 로자담으로 조르고 된 되는가 산다 보고 그래. 진짜 진짜 다 로디네 니슈 좋아 사샤 다 같이도 로디 나 님의 로레 로레 뒤지 타냐냐 로도와 진짜 다 괜히 뒤서디 마서 빨아들이야가 강바 야가디 뉘야들이야 터시시지 딩우지 사고도 선비게 삼다 배제 장제 무이 사샤바이나 अनि मुइजे सा खंगबसा निंगजिब न्यूएग मुइजे सा छवाइने खाबगे दि निंबरे गे दि दिबने सेमजे होमा खसने दिने पुयचिना खंगबसा दि यालाचिना जोथुवे छसा सेमजे गे होमा छसा दि खंगबे निंबे दिगि जी दुगुरे त दिने जो दुगुरे सेबि सामने याने या दो ताय दि गरे खेबर युंगुरे सेने खंगबसा वा याबु दि न्यूएल या अनि जेरि जेला सेमजे दुंबे दि शुक्षे छ जोगुरे दे दुंबे शुक्षे दो जेरि छबाइना मोबाने खंगबनि ब दिपसोबन Kampa Sapa de la Pocho Jure, Kanga Juna Yomaro. On Dina Jinga, to support the company, Kanga Jigbare, Kanga Jigbare, Chesan, to Ningba, support the company, Dudu, near Ningba Charabore, Chesan, Dini, some Naja, Mahoba, and Mava Sasa, Ningba Charabore, Mahoba, and Yahoo, Yaki Dondala, Judy Sasha Ben, Bishop Ben, Tenego, Ishiege, some that didn't meet our sometime, Sendu Kinoma, Kanga Skyma, Sam, or Dana Shisuna Kayama, Jema, Jema Chimbatin, Yahoo, Lingri, Sambi, Sam Lulich in Joshu.
Ensure that this is understood very clearly. We can think of your current situation. Everyone here lives in a home. That home is an impermanent phenomenon, so it will degenerate. It changes momentarily. It was, of course, produced in dependence on causes and conditions, so it will degenerate. And whether you think about your home as being impermanent or not, it makes no difference to the home in the sense that it remains impermanent and it ages and it will fall apart. So whether you think about it or not, has no impact on the deterioration or the degeneration of your home. It will do so because it, in its nature, is impermanent. On the other hand, though, should you be aware that this home is impermanent, it is going to start to fall apart. I am going to need to move at one point. I'm going to need to move somewhere else at one point. Gaining certainty of that is that knowledge gives one some power, some strength of mind. Knowing that one has to move, one then starts to plan. Where would I like to move to? Would I like to move to an environment that is beautiful, with a pleasant climate, perhaps with a lovely view, with nature around me? Or, well, any old place would do, maybe if I end up in a swamp and the weather is no good and there are loads of biting insects. Those are the two options, somewhere really pleasant, somewhere not so pleasant. And then seeing what those options are, we think, so what are the causes? Well, somewhere beautiful and pleasant is probably going to cost a whole lot more than somewhere not. So therefore, I have to accumulate those kinds of causes. It may take longer to find such a home, so I'd better start looking. It will probably cost a lot more, so I really need to start saving. And in this way, we can make a good plan. We're gaining knowledge, and this knowledge gives us strength of mind. And this analogy we liken exactly to the situation that we find ourselves now in terms of this life. This body is often referred to as a storehouse for our consciousness. This is the where our consciousness of this life resides. At one point, this body, being impermanent, will cease, and we will need to take a new body. And where do we want that body to be? Where do we want that to be? Somewhere pleasant, a happy migration. Somewhere unpleasant, a suffering migration. The answer is clear. So with this knowledge now, we have this power through this knowledge to then investigate what are the causes. What are the causes that lead to this desired result? What are the causes that lead to the undesired result? And with this knowledge then, leads to a strength of mind. I know what I need to do. I have knowledge. I have power. This is something that I have some control over. And therefore, we can accumulate the relevant causes.
And so sorry, Mitawa, some died, did you come sent in this year? Then, so sorry, my best Shandagi, Shan, let me see Mitawa, some died, Benemetor, Benetchik, Jala, Ninjibo, Jala, or Chick Tone, the Tone, the Manzuki, Delian, Chim, Lamsa, Bene. That thing was not in English to the Yinego, Yudan, Kinchil, Tunic Javales, Chinako Ramasio Mal, Chinati, Kijiki, Yuadu, Chinamedo, Giligil, Ningba Charu, Gazam Chilia, Komea Charu, Chinat, that the Ningo Tina, Giligil, Yuadu, Ningba Charu, Tempusio Mara, Sampa Tamina, Medo de Mibi, Chapaje, Chapaje, Gatu, and Dina Shinga, some of the Tashira machine, Michandala, Jalaya, Motaro, China, Kampa, Toyo, Ningjo, Zibur, Toyo, Namsa, Mazulia, Chapaje, Nihai, Hoda, Mizu Kampa, Yabutua, Chimbo, Shu, Yabo, Ningjo, Shudu, Tangala, Dine, Yomare, Sembia, Majuris, Sembi, Dine, Tonya, Ganga, Yonsiba, Yonsigore. Then Dine Gablia.
Then he gets a lot of time to come back into the world. Digi don't alia, so your tire, the turn tire, Nyalia, Gangacasioris. Chisan, the Niki Tempus came into us and bedin some tavern, Yandilia, and Chapaki, the Shuchun Dreda, oh my Jorisha, said Ma, Pashumiadi, Mayanaka, Chava in Gordadi.
So hopefully now it's clear. The purpose of engaging in the meditation on death and impermanence, which is to give us a great strength of mind that leads to us with ever greater ease, applying ourselves to virtue, turning away from non-virtue, and thereby living a meaningful life. But the reflection on impermanence shouldn't be engaged just with the objects being ourselves. We, of course, should relate it to all impermanent phenomena. So if we take the objects that are easy to understand, if we think of a beautiful flower, so we see a beautiful flower, and immediately we grasp at it with this view of permanence, wanting it to remain, wanting this beauty that we are experiencing and the joy that comes from this to always be experienced. And then when the flower naturally withers and dies, then there's some sadness. Because what we had grasped as with this hope of it lasting, of course, isn't fulfilled. Whereas if we have reflected well, and as we observe phenomena, knowing that they are impermanent, therefore we will know that it fulfills these, it has these two characteristics. It changes momentarily, so therefore no surprise comes when it changes. Secondly, we understand that it's come about in dependence on causes and conditions. And when this understanding has been developed so it's quite natural within us, when we see something such as the beautiful flower, we'll understand that it's more in accordance with reality, and therefore the arisal of attachments is much weaker. The arisal of afflictions in relation to this object is much less. We'll take another example that's easy to understand. If we see desirable possessions that others have, and the position we are now in is naturally attachment arises towards those possessions. We would like to have those, and perhaps also jealousy towards that person, thinking, oh, it's not fair, they have all these things that I wish I had and I don't, and I'll probably never be able to have these. And yeah, our mind thus gets quite impacted. And this is because we're not relating to these objects with wisdom. We're not relating to them in terms of how they really exist. We're grasping at them as being permanent. We're forgetting that they momentarily change. The way we observe them now is not how they were and it's not how they will be. They change. Moreover, they've come about in dependence on causes and conditions. And if these are things of great value or expensive, then the money that was required to buy them was created through a lot of hard work, perhaps some sacrifices, and so forth. And then when you start to think about it in this way, it starts not to be so desirable anymore. Our attachment for the object starts to fade. Any feeling of inadequacy that we had, this also starts to fade. So in other words, the more we understand impermanence and these two aspects of momentary change and that it comes about in dependence on causes and conditions, the less we'll grasp at impermanent phenomena as being impermanent, as being permanent. And as this grasping at permanence, this wrong consciousness weakens, then the resulting afflictions that come from this wrong consciousness will also weaken. Having reflected on the impermanence of ourselves, we've reflected on the impermanence of external phenomena. We should also look at then move to subtler phenomena than flowers and worldly possessions, material possessions. Then we think of situations that we find difficult. So let's say someone is angry with us, someone verbally attacks us, criticizes us. If we have reflected well on impermanence, then immediately, because of our meditation or our habituation or our familiarity, those synonyms with meditation, because of that, our understanding, our realization of impermanence will naturally appear to us, will naturally arise to us. And we'll understand that this person before us, like ourselves, are impermanent. The affliction that is now dominant within them, perhaps it's anger, perhaps it's an attitude of arrogance, an attitude belittling, looking down on us. Whatever it is, that too is impermanent, which means changes momentarily. Therefore, they are not that affliction. That is not a permanent characteristic of their nature. because it changes. It's not permanent. It changes momentarily. Moreover, it came about in dependence on causes and conditions. A very wide variety of causes and conditions. Not necessarily what we've been accused of having done. Not just that, but a wide variety of causes and conditions. When that arises within us spontaneously, it has an immediate impact on our mind, in that our mind stays open and spacious. We're not taking what is being said to us as personal, because we understand it's about what's happening in the continuum of someone else. Moreover, we're not identifying that person as that afflicted mind, as that mind of anger. We are seeing that that is something that has just arisen and will pass. And it has arisen due to a wide variety of causes and conditions. The vast majority have nothing to do with myself or directly with myself. So here, now the position we find ourselves in is before us is a deeply afflicted person in that moment, a person who in that moment is suffering gravely. But we ourselves, our mind is spacious. Our mind is calm. We are not taking it personally, and therefore we are not responding defensively. And due to our response being calm and spacious, we have a calming impact on that suffering person. So in this way, through our reflections on impermanence, we are able not only to have a beneficial impact on ourselves, but we are able to have a beneficial impact on beings who are suffering greatly. We've now looked at some of the benefits and reflect on the meditation on impermanence that should be done in relation to the impermanence of aggregates, the impermanence of material goods, impermanence of ways of thinking or minds or in speech. All of this, all of these impermanent phenomena, we reflect on their impermanent nature, and it has these great benefits. So we're returning to our text now. We've been looking at a yogic direct valid cognizer, and we see that a yogic direct valid cognizer, that consciousness realizes three objects, and we've now looked at the first object, that of impermanence. So let's now look at the second object of a yogic direct valid cognizer. And we see here yogic direct valid cognizers directly realizing the coarse selflessness of persons. So what is meant then by the coarse selflessness of persons that is realized by a yogic direct valid cognizer? When the yogic direct valid cognizer realizes the coarse selflessness of persons, it realizes that the self is empty of being, permanent, unitary, or single, and independent. So the core selflessness of persons is the self being empty of being permanent, unitary, and independent.
Kiji kishi mambu yodi. Da dini ma adaya di ma lo cha shir dhuri ma agan dini kishi mambu dhuri yodi. Chida ma zo kansa shiya yodi. Kishi nga chi mambu cha shiya yodi kin. Chiri ma to koran kishi kiawa nga ma yore, kansa di kiawa chi ma yore. Nga zo rakwa samtampe ne pu chun shun yu yu shiya. Da de ne dharma dini gengo se ko cha shiya mambu yodi. Chida cha shiya yuni me di kin. Ani jira chik di rebe sen diya ma res. Kansa diliya kishi nga ma da chi ma da gyu yun da. Ani mambu cha shiya yore es. ちょ、あの、茶社みんちぶちゃ、ちぶちらんちでですね、やまれです。だな、え、ラワンはレベスね、ラワンまでですか、その牛団件で帝国です。牛団件ラマ帝国が殺しをまれです。ちな、ラワンね、牛団件ラマ帝国が殺しをね、殺さでラワンを着こです。で、ちな、で殺さで牛団件ラマ帝国まで殺さで牛団件で帝国まで、ちな牛団件ラマ帝国ラワンでやまれ。
でね、チャシェラマデビチラチでやらまれ。だ、ねがそうで、記事記事具は見てたばでやまれそう。じゃあガサディ、え、ギギラマデビがらわやまれ。え、記事記事短いべたばやまれ。チャシェラマデビチブやまれ。ディスすんげとあれそう。だそうで。チブやまれ。じゃあ、メバンザガサディ、たちらわじにまじばろ。たちらわじにじばらね、ギギラマデビが
So let's look at these three terms, the first being permanent, the second being unitary or single, and the third being independent. So what the yogi is trying to realize here is that the self is empty of these three characteristics, or does not possess these three characteristics, is void of these three characteristics. So what is meant of these three? So the first one, permanent. So he's been speaking about the meaning of permanent and impermanent. Something that is impermanent means it changes momentarily. Something that's permanent does not change momentarily. So here the reflection is to see that the self is empty of being permanent because it does change momentarily. The second characteristic then, that of unitary or single, is that the part the self is not singular in the sense of, if it were singular, it would have no parts. So we come to reflect that the self does have parts, and therefore is empty of being unitary or empty of being single. And what kind of, and then we can look and think of parts in many ways. So there's the person of the past life, or the present life, or the future life. So those are parts. It's dependent on many parts, such as a form aggregate, a continuum. It's dependent on moments of change. The self of the earlier in the life, of later in this life, of right now. And then, of course, one can divide that up into far subtler parts or moments of time. So in this way, one comes to reflect that the self is not unitary. The self is empty of being single. It's empty of being unitary. So that's the second characteristic. And then the third is that of being independent. So here one reflects on the self as being not being independent, of being void or empty of this characteristic of being independent, and rather come to see that the self is dependent. And here dependent refers to causes and conditions. So the self depends on causes and conditions. Realizing that, one realizes the self is not independent, but is rather dependent on causes and conditions. So this second characteristic, that of unitary, relates to coming to realize that the self is dependent on parts. The third characteristic, independence, refers to this coming to realize that the self is dependent on causes and conditions. So there's two types of dependency. That first characteristic, again, permanent, is to realize that the self is impermanent because it changes momentarily. So that's the explanation of these three characteristics of the core selflessness of persons, realizing that the self is empty of being permanent, unitary, and independent. When the meditator came to realization that the self is empty or void or lacks permanence, unitary nature and independence, then they will have realized that the self does change momentarily. It is dependent on parts. It is dependent on causes. And that realization is a realization of the, of course, selflessness of persons. If we think about these three characteristics of the self being permanent, unitary, and independent, this is how the self naturally appears to us. The self naturally appears to us as being permanent in that we naturally think of the self as the self of yesterday, the self of today, as being exactly the same, as being permanent. Similarly, we don't naturally relate to the self as being dependent on its parts, and therefore we relate to it as being unitary. And we don't naturally relate to the self as being dependent on causes and conditions, and therefore we relate to it as being independent. And therefore, when with the self appearing to us as permanent, unitary, and independent, we grasp at it as such, or another way to translate grasp is we fixate at the self as being permanent, unitary, and independent. And this is a wrong consciousness in the sevenfold division of Lodig. The seventh one, we'll come to later in detail, is wrong consciousness. And this wrong consciousness, which grasps at the self as existing as permanent, unitary, and independent, leads to the arisal of afflictive minds. So therefore, through engaging in this meditation, investigating to see how the self appears to us, seeing that it appears as being permanent, unitary, and independent, and then investigating whether it exists in this way, and coming to realize that it doesn't, we then come to this coarse realization of the coarse selflessness of persons, and that serves to reduce this grasping at the self as existing in this way, and thereby reduce the strength of the resulting afflictions from this. So that is the purpose of this meditation.
And
The way then to meditate on the core selflessness of persons is to, firstly, the meditation, as with all topics, needs to be done repeatedly over a sustained period for the realization to progress to subtler levels, and for the realization to have a transformative effect on oneself. So in this meditation, one meditates sequentially on these three aspects: permanence, unitary, and independence. And one meditates first on the first one, being permanent, seeing how we have this way of relating to the self, or we have this feeling that the self is permanent. And as was mentioned before, that we feel that the self of today, the self of yesterday, of last year, and of tomorrow, kind of the same self. We have this feeling of permanence about ourselves. We need to rather reflect, though, that the self is impermanent and therefore does change momentarily. So that's the first step of the meditation, is reflecting on permanence. The second is the aspect of being singular or unitary. So here we need to reflect on this means that the self appears to us as not being dependent on parts. So we need to reflect then here on how the self is dependent on parts. So the self, if you think over the expanse of lifetimes, where there has been a progression from a past lifetime to a present lifetime, and that will continue to a future lifetime, these are all parts. There's this continuity that goes from lifetime to lifetime, but there are parts, the part that's referred to as the previous life, and the part that's the life previous to that, the part that is this life, the part that will be a future life. So there is this continuity of parts, and within each part are many subparts. So in this life, We are now all adults. Before this, we were growing up when we were perhaps still at home and we were growing. Before that, we were young toddlers. Before that, we were an infant. So these are all parts. And before that, we were in the womb. And before we even entered the womb, there was the part that where we were in the intermediate state. So there's this sequence of parts that this life, that this person is dependent on. It's just a continuity. And this continuity has parts. And we've spoken about parts of past and future lives, parts within a life. And then one can break that down to subtler moments of even the part that is this moment, this day, has its own divisions. And we can keep dividing into subtler parts. And therefore we come to see, we've already come to realize that the person cannot be permanent, but is impermanent. And now we see that the person is not independent of parts, but dependent on parts. All these parts are required for there to be a person. So therefore the person is dependent on parts. The third aspect is that of being independent. Being independent means that the person appears to us as not being dependent on causes and conditions. So here we need to reflect then on the causes and conditions that the person is dependent on. And here, for a result to come about, becomes about dependence on causes. So if for us to live a long and healthy life, that is a result. It comes about independence on many causes. And if those causes aren't accumulated, a long and healthy life cannot be achieved. And if we think about it in a coarse way, we know that when we're young and we were completely dependent on the kindness of others, if those causes and conditions were not achieved then, we would have long since died by now. So that's a very coarse way to think about the causes and conditions that the person is dependent on. But just through reflecting on this at ever subtler levels, we'll come to a subtler understanding that the self is not independent of causes and conditions, but is dependent. And as one then comes to realize that the self is void or empty of being permanent, of being unitary, of being independent, one's grasping at the self as being so weakens. The grasping at permanence weakens. And therefore, in dependence on this grasping weakening, the resulting afflictions also weaken in the frequency of arisal, weaken in their strength, weaken in their duration. And this is this starts as we gain even the coarser realizations of this meditation, and will continue to grow in strength as our realization grows in profundity. That's the explanation of the meditation on the core selflessness of persons. The way meditations are presented is in a way that's easy to understand. Because once you have an understanding, you can apply it. And if one does apply it repeatedly over a sustained period, then you will progress to subtler and subtler levels. having progressed to subtler levels, one is gaining ever more profundity in this realization, and eventually one will come to a direct realization of the coarse selflessness of persons. So now let's relate this to some of the terminology in the text that we've heard, the terminology of Lodig. So the first moment of this direct realization will be a direct valakognizer. And the second and subsequent moment will not no longer be a valakognizer, but will be subsequent cognizers because it's no longer new. So these are the first two of the sevenfold division of Lodig. We mentioned the seventh one before on consciousness. Now these are the first and the third, value cognizers, and the third being subsequent cognizers. But before one gains a direct valid cognizer, one attains an inferential valid cognizer. So that is still to come. Inferential valid cognizer, I think it's on page 8. And this comes long before a direct valid cognizer. So we currently on the page of direct valid cognizers, which has a yogic direct valid cognizer. But before one can gain a direct cognition, a direct valid cognizer, one needs an inferential valid cognizer. Once that has been achieved and one develops this progressively over time, eventually one's realization will no longer be through inference or through reasoning, but will be direct, will be a direct valid cognizer. And when we gain a direct valid cognizer of coarse selflessness of persons, this will be a yogic direct valid cognizer. And this very first moment will be a yogic direct valid cognizer. There afterwards will be a yogic direct perceiver, that is a subsequent cognizer. So that's the second division on page 5. A yogic direct perceiver, that is a subsequent cognizer. The second and subsequent moments. That first moment of the direct realization of coarse selflessness of phenomena is a yogic direct perceiver, that is a direct valid cognizer. The first division on page 5, which is the division we've been looking at the bottom of page 6. So that is the sequence that one goes through with the meditations. First starting out where we are now, and then slowly progressing through these various other divisions that Lodig presents. The yogic direct valid cognizers, then we see have three divisions. We've now looked at the first two, subtle impermanence, coarse selflessness of persons, and now we come to the third, the third object of a yogic direct valid cognizer, which is the subtle selflessness of persons. So we've looked at core selflessness of persons. So now we come to the third object of a yogic direct valid cognizer, subtle selflessness of persons. So what then is meant by subtle selflessness of persons as opposed to coarse selflessness of persons? So the subtle selflessness of persons can be expressed as the self being established, as the person being established. The self, the person being established as the self. which means that it's not dependent on parts, the self is not dependent on aggregates. So the self not being dependent on aggregates, not dependent on parts, means that the self is established. But realizing that the self is dependent on parts, realizing that the self is dependent on its aggregates, this is the realization of subtle selflessness of persons. We're hearing here that the realization of subtle selflessness of persons is realization that the self is dependent on parts, is dependent on its aggregates. So first to talk about this realization that the self is dependent on parts. So we've heard this now in both the coarse and subtle selflessness of persons. So in the first one, permanence, unitary and independence, the coarse selflessness. The second one, the second characteristic, that of being unitary or singular, to realize that it's empty of that means realizing that the self is dependent on parts. So we heard about parts then. So this realization that the self is dependent on parts is a coarser realization. So one would meditate that the self is dependent on parts, such the part that is birth, that is growing up, etc., these periods of a lifespan. Here, in the subtle selflessness of persons, one is referring to a realization that the self is dependent on parts, where the realization of parts, or the parts that are being understood, are far subtler than what was realized in the coarser realization, where the parts are coarser.
So the more usual way of expressing
the subtle selflessness of persons is that to realize that the person is empty of being a self-sufficient, substantially existent. So that's the more usual way of expressing it. So I'll repeat that again. So the subtle selflessness of persons is realizing that the person is empty of being self-sufficient, substantially existent. And the way that the self appears to us is as being in these two ways, the coarse and subtle selflessness. It appears to us as being permanent, unitary, and independent. It appears to us as being self-sufficient, substantially existent. So it naturally appears to us in this kind of way. But there is a difference between these two in terms of their level of subtlety. So as one progresses in one's meditation, one comes first to coarser understandings that yes, the self doesn't exist in the way that it appears. And if one only leaves it at that, one's understanding remains very rough and therefore has a limited impact. Whereas if one continues, one will take the meditation down to subtler levels. And this is what is being implied here with these two degrees of subtlety between the coarse and subtle selflessness of persons. So as one progresses within one's meditation, one comes to see that the self may appear as permanent, unitary, and independent, and appear to us as being self-sufficient, substantially existent. But we come then to gain subtler understandings that it does not exist in the way that it appears. So in this meditation, we start out by seeing how does the self appear to us, and it appears to us as being something real, something established independently, established from its own side. And then, if we think about it a bit more, how it appears to us. It can be best understood through an analogy. The self naturally appears to us as if it's something separate from our physical and mental aggregates, as if it is the controller of our physical and aggregates. And an analogy would be in the same way as a driver is the controller of the car. The car goes where the driver directs it. This is how the self appears to us innately or naturally appears to us. It appears to us, the self appears to us as, or the person appears to us as if it is separate from the physical and mental aggregates and is the controller of the physical and mental aggregates. So then, So that's the first step of the meditation, to see how the self appears to us. So generally when we talk about the self or the person, the I, we will talk about, in terms of ourselves, how am I feeling? I'm feeling a bit ill today, my body's not so good. Or we'd say, oh, I'm feeling happy, my mind's in a good place. And this is generally how we talk and how we talk about the self. And when we talk about others, then if you'd say, have you seen someone? You'd say, yes, I saw her. And why? What are we basing this on? We saw her physical aggregate. So in dependence on seeing her physical aggregate, we say, I saw her. So this is how, in general, we talk about the self or the person. The self appears to us, when we think about the self, the way it appears to us is as if it is separate from the aggregates, the controller of the physical and mental aggregates. So we need to investigate if this is the case. We think to ourselves, so what happens if the physical and mental aggregates were eliminated or destroyed? What would happen then? So let's look at the aggregates. So if we take, say, the feeling aggregate, then the feeling aggregate is how we often relate to ourselves. How are you? I'm happy. I'm not so happy. So this is the feeling aggregate. The self, though, is it separate other than this feeling aggregate? Because this is how the self appears. It appears as if it is not connected to the aggregates. It is in control of them. It is separate from the aggregates. It's different from them. But is that the case? So we look here. Is the self different from this feeling aggregate of happy, unhappy, and neutral?
And those in the ship, Cheva, Kansam, Chilia, Tangan, Chuki, Chisadane, so what the Ochine, so what do not you decouple, so what the Odio Martin and Ars at the Kansachi Utile, Chisan, so what do not you decouple, so what the Odio Martin, Ars at the Yakasachi, do my Simjima, the Egin number Sheba Tramo, the Egin number Sheba, the Egin number Sheba Tramo, Tilly Lawson, one Dilly Lawson, Kansa said, Mindu, Chisan Kansa said, Yi number shiva chamon delpa da ji dile tuedungo yi number shiva de ngo ye me ba ru xie xia zhe yi number shiva na chamon di ngo dile lo su ga sa se de min duo shen bi ge jie ba jin da hao guo qi liao du zhe zha da ga sa se di pungbo na ni da ji pungbo na cui pungbo du shiva pungbo de cha ra mang guo qi ne ta ma ta shuo zhe yi number shiva chamon de pungbo de number shiva pungbo Dile more lawsome, Gaza said the two words that in the Mindu, Sempetonio, and the Gaza said the and the Casore Pumbola Matu Rang when the two words said, Meva de Hawatu Winston.
The Tamar Ranka
Gaza that is Ranga to sit to us, Ranga to be sit to us, Ranga to be the Pumbola Matuva, Koron when you drew to his cigarette. Chisato do much to the Gaza by Jeva, 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 Tame Tajola, Tama de la Jeva to the Egan number ship, Tamo D, Wally, Loso, Gaza said Mindu. Chisan, Egan number ship, Tamo Titan, Wotipi, Egan number ship, Tamo said.
This meditation then is starts off by seeing how the self appears to us, and we said that it appears as if it is the controller of the physical and mental aggregates. Now we investigate, is that really the case? Because if the physical and mental aggregates were destroyed, would we talk about the self in the same way? And I mentioned one of the aggregates, that of an aggregate of feeling, to see, is the self separate from that? But if we feed the feeling aggregate is the feeling of happiness or suffering, then we say, I am happy, I am suffering. So we can't really say that the self is separate from, is other than, is different from the feeling aggregate. And similarly then, we go through all five aggregates. But just to present this in brief, where this usually comes down to is the consciousness aggregate. Consciousness then has many different levels of subtlety. And when one comes down to the subtlest level of the subtlest mental consciousness, can we really say that the self, which appears to be the controller of the aggregates and separate from the aggregates, is separate other than this subtle mental consciousness? We'll come to see that actually it is indivisible, indistinguishable from this subtle mental consciousness. It's not separate from it, it's not different from it, it's not other than it. And in this way, we come to realize that the self is empty of subtle selflessness. We come to realize that the self is empty or void of being self-sufficient, substantially existent. Rather, it is dependent. It's dependent on its aggregates, in other words, on parts. It is dependent on causes and conditions. So here we come to realize subtle selflessness of persons, realizing that the self is void or empty of being self-sufficient, substantially existent, in other words, something other than, separate from the aggregates. Rather, it's dependent on them, and it's dependent on parts and causes and conditions.
Dinegi gansa du du cheba cheche, da gansa say de pungpo chashu, number shibi pungpo chamo dele madubige, dele madubo korang rangwe ne madubige rangja tuba chik, mindu dele rangja tuba mindu beza, cheza dinegi mindu simbe tongle du gansa rangju tu sisubi tonga say de duhorwa rangja tubige. Namshela madubige rangji tubige zaogine minduwa simbe gansa tongle du gansa rangja tubi sisubi tonga tongwa re. Di tobe dangbo tobe ge jeba chine dangbo hako go lo di da jeba chema saya che go re. Dene dine ma gijin iba di jishe cha ru go le jishe. Da dine ge jishe cha ne da dine mi ne da dine ge gansa da meba dile mi ne shine ru go re shine ru. Shine ru. Ane shine ru ne shine ru cawe cao so na di che le ya ane ya shine di nga ne dine ge dame dile mi pe lao dong ru.
Comes to realize that the self is not something that is a controller of the aggregates despite appearing as such and is therefore empty of being something other separate from the aggregates, that is the realization that of subtle selflessness of persons, realizing that the self is not self-sufficient, it is not substantially existent, but rather it is dependent on parts and causes and conditions. So this, when one comes to gain this realization, one then starts to develop calm abiding on relation to this object. So one realizes the subtle selflessness of persons, and then one starts to develop, When one first realizes, the subtle selflessness of persons, this is an inferential valid cognizer. So one of the sevenfold division that we'll come to is on page 8. But only the very first moment is the inferential valid cognizer. The second and subsequent moments of that realization are subsequent cognizers. So that again is one of the types of mind that are included in the sevenfold division. Having gained that realization, this inferential valid cognition, one then starts to develop calm abiding, the mind of single points of concentration, on the object, which is the realization of the subtle selflessness of persons. And then when one eventually realizes karma abiding now on the subtle objects, one then is able to hold this realization single-pointedly, but one is not able to continue to analyze whilst holding it single-pointedly. So then one develops meditative insight in relation to, which is that analytical mind, in relation to this realization. And eventually one is able to both have meditative insight and calm abiding together at the same time on this realization of subtle selflessness of persons. That is when one has the union of calm abiding and meditative insight on subtle selflessness of persons, meaning one can continue to analyze, use meditative insight, whilst holding the objects single-pointedly, calm abiding. So one has them in union. When that is the case, one continues now to meditate on the subtle selflessness of persons repeatedly, and one eventually then gets to the point where one is no longer realizing the subtle selflessness of persons independence or by means of a meaning generality, but one can come to realize it directly. And this is when one gives rise to a direct perceiver, which is a yogic direct perceiver. And that yogic direct perceiver, realizing the subtle selflessness of persons, the very first moment is the valid cognizer, and the second and subsequent moments, subsequent cognizers. So those are the divisions then that we saw on the top of page 5. So, sitting here, we are all ordinary beings. We are not yet Aryas, but this meditation is something as ordinary beings we need to engage in. As we gain greater familiarity of these various components, the course first of subtle impermanence, then core selflessness, and then subtle selflessness of persons, we will eventually give rise to an inferential valid cognition in relation to the subtle selflessness of persons. So we all have some realization of this, some understanding of this. And as we develop this understanding, eventually we will give rise to an inferential valid cognizer realizing the subtle selflessness of persons. So this is when we have an inferential valid cognizer. Then, but this only lasts a single moment. The second moment is a subsequent cognizer. So again, I'm using these terms again and again so that we're starting to get familiar with this language of Lodic, because they will come up again later, as some of them have come up previously already. So the first moment of that realizes a subtle selflessness of persons is an inferential valid cognizer. The second and subsequent moments are subsequent cognizers. And each time we meditate on the subtle selflessness of persons and realize it, this remains a subsequent cognizer. Every time you meditate, it remains a subsequent cognizer. Until we go through this whole process, as was mentioned earlier, with calm abiding and meditative insight, and we eventually come to the point where we give rise to a yogic direct perception, which is now a direct perception, so it's a direct realization. Now no longer an inferential valid cognizer, or the subsequent cognizer of that, but it's now a yogic direct perception. And this is when we fulfill this definition on the top of page 4, on the top of page 5, sorry. And we are now an Arya being. We are now an Arya being. But the very first moment of this yogic direct perception is the valid cognizer, which is defined at the bottom of page 6. Only the very first moment. Each and every subsequent moment to that is again a subsequent cognizer. And that's just the subsequent cognizer is the second of the two divisions, again, on the top of page 5. And this realization of subtle selflessness of persons will remain a yogic, a subsequent cognizer that is a yogic direct perceiver until one becomes a Buddha, until one gives rise to the omniscient consciousness. It's only then that one again will have a valid cognition of the subtle selflessness of persons. So these are then the three key points or stages where one has a direct perception, a first an inferential valid cognizer, then a yogic direct valid cognizer, and only later when one is a Buddha, again a valid cognizer of subtle selflessness of persons. The other times were subsequent cognitions.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཕྱི 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 མི ཕྱ
先生叫了米线，没大把什么单位呢？就在让了米大把米什么单位的让了米去接班那些，先生叫了米呢，没大把什么单位呢？这先生叫了呀，你讲这的，你去接了呀？那很多用过的，好，你那些当然就刚才当面抓把当，刚才当面差没这些什么当当都是什么当接不接些，什么单位呢？你那然后这个接班的，其他。
你看这里恰当起来了，用着呀，他那些海里面的，现在什么叫里面的？那干啥东西？特别是什么猪八蛋，但是俺大多毛猪八蛋、肉八蛋，差不多就空白银了。俺现在什么叫的给呢？有点金，吃些了，对吧？么子刚来没多少人，我那猪八蛋没吧？什么东西都，俺现在没别的，俺那讲吧的，在我家的，俺钱包用过了吧？俺钱在主要给把东西过了，现在今年呢，俺这个这些吃饭那些什么蛋啊，那些伢那样东西就刚都吃到那些什么蛋，吃不起来的，给吃不吃过来。
Then we've looked at then these three meditations that on subtle impermanence, coarse and subtle selflessness of persons. So these are of particular importance to do. And we should start the meditation by reflecting on ourselves, reflecting on the impermanence of this life. And, we start by reflecting on death and impermanence, the impermanence of our life. So the meditation starts with us in the first person, reflecting on the impermanence of our life. Then we can to look at the two meditations on selflessness, reflecting that we have this feeling that we are permanent, that we are single, that we are independent, as explained earlier. Do we exist in this way? So we do these the three points here, impermanence and the coarse and subtle selflessness, in relation to ourselves. We can also then take the meditation on, in particular on impermanence, to outer objects, phenomena in the world, seeing that the way we relate to phenomena in the world is also as if they were permanent, and can come to gain a clear understanding that they too are in their nature impermanent because they change momentarily and are dependent on causes and conditions. And the purpose then of doing this meditation, first in relation to ourselves with all three aspects of impermanence and selflessness, as well as in relation to outer objects, is so as to develop a truer understanding, an understanding that is in accordance with reality. And this then has a profound impact on us, in that we come to see why we are trapped in suffering. We come to see, understand suffering more clearly as causes, and that freedom from it is possible. And this is because we're coming to realize in ever greater profundity that phenomena, whether it's our self or outer phenomena, appear to us in a particular way as being permanent, unitary, and independent. And they don't exist in this way. But because we grasp at them as existing in this way, this grasping is a wrong consciousness. And this leads to all our resulting afflicted minds. And now we see that these afflicted minds result from a wrong consciousness. But now we are developing wisdom. From wisdom, wisdom is of course not a wrong consciousness and therefore doesn't lead to afflicted minds. Therefore we see we can achieve liberation from suffering because we're seeing that the causes of suffering can be eliminated through the development of this wisdom. This leads to strong yearning for freedom from liberation because we see that it's possible and we know that it's possible because we've clearly identified the causes for suffering as well as the causes for liberation from suffering. This leads to the arrival of the mind of definite emergence, the commitment to strive for liberation from suffering. And that when it arises in an uncontrived manner, is the attainment of a first path. Then the next step that we take this meditation, so we started out with reflecting on the impermanence of this life, and then we looked at selflessness, and we also looked then at outer phenomena. Now we relate these experiences to others, seeing that others too, all other sentient beings, are impermanent. Sentient beings though, ordinary sentient beings, grasp at phenomena as existing in the way that they appear to them, so that as their own self, as well as outer phenomena, as being permanent, unitary, and independent, as being self-sufficient, substantially existent. And therefore, due to their own wrong consciousnesses, they keep creating causes of suffering. They keep creating causes that lead to disappointment, that lead to pain and misery. Seeing this then, love and compassion for others arise within us. So in this way then, we're starting to create love and compassion, and we can use this as a basis to develop bodhicitta. So this so that's the way then to progress in this meditation. The results that come from this is as we develop our wisdom, seeing that phenomena do not exist in the way that they appear, therefore we grasp at them, we start to grasp at them less as existing in the way they appear, and therefore the resulting afflicted minds from the wrong consciousness weaken and become less frequent. That then leads us to having more happiness too. Moreover, love and compassion for others is arising. So what we're doing is we're developing wisdom, love and compassion, and in a direct proportion to the strength of these virtuous minds, the opposing afflicted minds, such as self-cherishing, attachment, anger, they weaken. And we thereby are able to have a greater impact greater beneficial impact on the lives of others too. So these are some of the immediate results that come from engaging in this meditation repeatedly over a sustained period. We'll conclude here for the morning. If you have some questions, then we have time, so please ask. This afternoon, we will start with over the page with the next section, facsimiles, or perhaps better translated, similitudes of a direct perceiver. So if you have some questions, then yes, Cameron.
Space. Does that refer to space that is without obstruction? Okay.
Sure. So can I say a bit more about uncompounded space? Yeah? Does it refer to space without obstruction?
Or just lack of obstruction. Does that refer to lack of obstruction?
Dumacheki namka. Dumacheki namka. De karere. The So in brief, the answer is yes. Uncompounded space means phenomena are not obstructed, their movement, so it's not obstructed. And the meaning of uncompounded means it didn't come together, independence and causes and conditions. Because compounded is a synonym for impermanent. It means coming together, independence on causes and conditions. This is a permanent phenomenon, hence it hasn't come about independence on causes and conditions. So that's the meaning of uncompounded. That's uncompounded, it hasn't come about independence on causes and conditions, and the function is that phenomena can move in an unobstructed manner.
Is there such a thing as compounded space?
Okay, so is there such a thing as compounded space? Dumaje ki namka yona, duje ki namka yope.
Duje ki namka lagmare, duje ki namka lagmare, namka lagmare,
So no, there is not. No, there is not. So uncompounded space means empty. Not like emptiness, but empty. So, yeah, and there isn't, therefore, compounded space.
The question, the reason I ask the question is that, for instance, the propagation of a wave, for instance, through a solid material, is facilitated by the material itself. So effectively the space of the material is actually the compounding space.
Okay, I can't translate scientific terms into Tibetan. I've no idea what they are. So a wave I could use like for an ocean wave, but that's not really the idea, yeah? So,
Sort of thing, an ocean wave.
I don't have this. There is scientific terminology from English is translated into Tibetan. I don't know this. Okay, so I can only then give you that answer and hope then that you can take it in with your scientific knowledge and understand.
Okay,
sorry. Yes.
In the text and in the Heart Sutra, where it says all the objects of sense consciousness, and then it says and phenomena. So the phenomena, I just want to clear this for my own mind. Does that mean impermanent and permanent, or what does it mean? What does the word and mean?
Yeah, where in the Heart Sutra?
The others are impermanent. The objects of the, say, the eye sense consciousness is one, and phenomena, and phenomena.
I'm not finding.
In the Heart
Sutra. Yeah, I'm not finding and phenomena. Just putting, doing a word search. I'm not finding and phenomena. Because if I'm going to say to. Okay. No eyes, no ears. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no visual form, no sound, no odor, no taste, no object to touch, and no phenomenon. Okay, there we go. No phenomenon. So your question is, and no phenomenon?
No, I want to know what phenomena is. Is it just inclusive of permanent and impermanent?
Okay. Okay. Then he surf Ningpo Nangla, draw mepa, dream mepa, draw mepa, rekta mepa, then he chur mepa, chur mepa de kari segede, de tapa da mitapa ni, yamana chur mepa ne
tapa da mitapa kari ni, rashi to go yomarela or, temple to go yomarela or, then soup me, tame, soup temple to go yomara, temple to go yomarela or, dinashin. And the chair said, Tawa
So, yes, your understanding is correct. So, all phenomena refers to all phenomena, whether impermanent or permanent. No phenomenon exists truly. All phenomena, whether permanent or impermanent, are empty of true existence. So, yes. Yeah? Okay, good. Okay, if it comes up later, then do ask. Okay, and sure. Andy?
When you're looking at the self as not being the controller, and you said, so you look at different aggregates, and you got down to the subtlest mind, very subtle mind, and you said that you come to realize that the self is not different from the subtlest mind. But it is different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not even the same type of impermanent phenomena. So I don't understand.
Okay. So so we're seeing that the self is the controller of the aggregates, and when we investigate, we come down to the subtle mental consciousness, and we see that they are of the same essence. They're the same entity. Yeah?
Okay,
what did I say?
You said they're just not different.
Okay. Yeah, they are not different. Sure. So what does that mean? Because they are different.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Okay. Then he... Rankia tupe jeyo tumpa jeyko la samdu. Gantak rankia tupe jeyo tumpa samdu. Deni nga tso yigi nampa sepe chasing tramo de nga tso gantak dang loka mare. Yini konso loka re, ako tomso?
Ngoji ba re, ngoo loka mare. Yine yigi nampa sepe deme sheba roa.
The self or the person and the subtle and mental consciousness are different. The person is a non-associated composite, and the mental consciousness is consciousness. So they are different. In essence, they are the same. In essence, they are not different. Yeah. In essence, they are not different. Their entity or their essence is not different, but one is consciousness and one is a non-associated composite. But in essence, they are not different.
Because of emptiness.
Karite? Karite in cosa nika tompa ni debe?
Nika tompa ni dewa, didi re, tompa ni dire de.
Ine dede gyutsen debe?
Gyumse tompa ni bi gyumse shigo ma.
Hala, den gyutsen karite?
Ochi re se de gyumse karite ne, dadem, tuz kansa tipa jeba che de, shibi ngowo de lo su kansa je yen yo ma re.
So here we're not talking about emptiness because of the tenets. Yeah, we're not talking about emptiness. Tenets, it hasn't come up. But the reason that they are said to be of one essence is because a different essence cannot be found. So because a different essence cannot be found, they are therefore of the same essence. Essence or entity, yeah?
Sorry, this is about how to investigate it not being the controller.
Right? Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes, yes. Okay. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
That is the idea of the ship. Now, the Jumda Susuran, so sometimes Midas Ligor, Kasa Damit, that the idea of the ship, you call it Doji Baina. ये नंबर से बच्चा मैं खोलूँ गांसा रेल बोल दा चिता ये नंबर से बच्चा मैं दिदां गांसा इन चीज़ मैं लॉस यो मरे ये नंबर से बच्चा मैं खोलूँ गांसा के चेंजिंग हो सुना ये नंबर से बच्चा मैं तुम्हें सुन उधर ले बोल
This presentation, this text is composed from the Sautrantika point of view. So the different Buddhist philosophical tenets will have different explanations, especially here. Remember though, the Sautrantika, they say there is a person and this is it. So when they're saying this isn't different from the person, it's because there is a person that exists. Yeah, that is findable.
Mm-hmm. So when you say essence, you're talking
about
matter.
Am I talking about matter? Okay.
Form.
Okay. So just for English, I'll ask the question. Essence and entity, whatever works better, it's both translations are used. But does the essence being the same, does it mean it's matter? Yeah? Or form. Yeah. Then the ngowo chikpa labna de konso ngowo de bempo rebe.
Ngo bempo mare su marwa. Bempo ina su himo mare.
Then he.
What the medicine labna digora?
Okay. It's not form. It's not matter because matter is form. It's a non-associated composite. So what is a non-associated composite? So if we take impermanent phenomena, it's all impermanent phenomena one or three. It's either matter or consciousness, matter, consciousness, or other. And the other is called non-associated composites. Composites, compounded, because it's impermanent, and it's not associated with other two. So in other words, it's the third category. And that's where some things such as this are placed. So when you ask what is it, it's impermanent and it's not consciousness or matter. It is the other category, and that is called non-associated composites. Sure.
Are you saying that they're mutually dependent, self and consciousness?
Self and consciousness, are they mutually dependent? Yeah. Ganzak dan Shepa, Ganzak dan Shepa, Pelze di Chasin Chamo, Shepa Chasin Chamo di, Gonzo, alle, Gonzo Pentun, Gale, Chigla Sen la Turpa Rebe.
Chitingo.
Yes, yes, they are mutually dependent. Okay. Yes, then, good.
I'm just thinking of that, which might not be right. I might not be ascertaining it. Is it a bit like anatomy and physiology where your liver is independent, but it still doesn't exist unless the other part of the body
exists? Mm-hmm. So can we use the analogy of like an organ such as the liver? It is it's independent, but it's dependent. It exists, but it's dependent on the rest of the body and its other parts working together. Yeah.
It doesn't have its own identity.
Yes. Then he pets in the drink again. That's all one poor chick pen and that's all a chimpa. That's a chimpa, huh? I suppose another one poor chimpa there. They, not the the ming chik tak to kere di chingpa ming tagi yore di chikse yine supo cha chang la tengi yore supo ki wampo dan supo ki yen lak chase tsama ma duna dene de yomare kiema nyong kien nyong yomare dene chik la chik tengi yore
tingo
absolutely that's a good illustration correctly ascertained.
Yeah.
Yes? No, that's good.
But it's written that consciousness will continue no matter what.
So, consciousness will.
Saying that the liver depends on part of the body, therefore that and consciousness are dependent.
Yes.
Consciousness will exist no matter what.
Yes, so if I understand correctly, is consciousness then not? Is consciousness not independent because it will always exist?
No, I'm saying
I'll say it again. So the liver is dependent on parts. It's not independent. For example, the various parts of the body, they all need to be accumulated for the liver to be a liver. It would never have been produced without the rest of it. So in this way, we can see that the liver is dependent on parts, all those other parts, yeah? And then similarly, we can... So that was just the question. And then towards consciousness, it would also be dependent on its parts. It would need its parts. Its parts, the parts that would relate to consciousness. Okay. I'm so kyopo. Then the drio yankia lapin, then kalen yankia lapin, then we stop with it. Okay, thank you.